RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Well, they got a good front. They got a good defense. That's the defending Super Bowl champs for a reason. They had a good plan. They get paid on that side of the football, too. So, again, it just comes down to us executing, making one more play than they did. And obviously we saw that we didn't make that last play. I didn't make that last play. So, yeah.
All right, that's Josh Allen after the game yesterday. And he's right. Very good front four. They dominated the Bills' interior offensive line, especially yesterday. I mean, Jalen Carter is one really, really great football player. You know, he's there's been some things that popped up with him, of course, and he had some injuries in and out of the lineup, but he was a difference maker yesterday, and he blocked the kick as well. Now, Josh talked there about not making the play at the end, got to have execution. I agree with that. I mean, the Bills just shot themselves in the foot yesterday, really. The proverbial shot themselves in the foot, right? You look at it, and folks, look at the stats in this game. The Bills had 331 yards of offense. Not a great day, but a good enough day. It's the NFL. It's against the Eagles defense, 331 yards. The Eagles had 190. They outgained them 331 to 190. The Bills averaged 4.5 yards a play. Eagles 3.5 yards a play. 4.5 is not a lot. 3.5 is minuscule. The Eagles had in the second half one first down. Jalen Hurts did not complete a pass in the second half. 0 for 7. The Eagles punted on five straight possessions. Five. They had a total of 16 yards on 18 plays. That counts a kneel down, but that counts in the second half. And the Bills lost the game. How? Because they made critical mistakes at inopportune times. What we talked about at the beginning of the show, that's the theme of today when it comes to yesterday's game. There's still a page to turn to move forward to next week. We'll talk about that, how the Bills are going to play it. Been online on X at Sell Sports, talking with some people about, you know, seeding possibilities next week, where everything lies. There's just so many different possibilities. We know the Bills will play 4:25 p.m. against the Jets at home in what will most likely be the final ever game at Highmark Stadium. 803-0550 is the number to call. Welcome back here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. I don't know why I keep saying Friday, folks. I've said Friday 10 times today. Probably two or three, but I've said Buffalo Football Friday several times. It's a Buffalo Football Monday. And of course, it is always on a Monday brought to you by and presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. We'll get to our extra point from the sidelines in a little while. We'll get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy. This week, we got a lot more of your phone calls, and I like where you've taken it today. A lot of different ways that you can go with yesterday's game. Frustrations with Joe Brady, debate about the two-point conversion play, frustrations with Josh Allen, execution. I haven't heard a lot on the defense today from a critical standpoint. The only real criticism I have of the defense yesterday was two long yardage situations given up in the first half, third down and 10, third down and 12. Those are the two big criticisms I have. Other than that, they played a really, really good game. And by the way, there was a caller earlier who called up and said, who are the rookies on the defensive line? I thought he meant defensive tackles. Apparently, I think he was meaning Andre Jones Jr. Thanks a lot to my buddy John Scott from Spectrum, from WGRZ TV2, formerly Spectrum, but John of Channel 2, who texted me and said he was talking about Andre Jones Jr. Thanks, John, for listening and for letting me know. And you're right, John, he was. And if that is the case, to the caller who called earlier and we couldn't figure out and I couldn't remember and we couldn't get to that particular point, I'm bringing it up again because I like the way that Andre Jones Jr. Has played over these last couple of weeks. And I said that when people said, why are they elevating Judon? Yeah, I'd like to see Matthew Judon play. I think Andre Jones Jr. has played well. He's played special teams. He actually played well yesterday. He played well last week. So, you know, I think keep playing the young guy there and seeing what he can give you. Maybe Judon still, you know, gets an opportunity, and that would be great. Maybe the Bills aren't putting him on the field yet because they want to wait to kind of, I don't know, unveil or show something new in the playoffs. He also is learning the system, but Andre Jones Jr. is the guy that they were talking about earlier. We are on the video side of things today, of course, on the YouTube stream, on the Twitch stream. Thank you very much, AC Man, Bill, Ted, John, Charles. Everybody's coming. Hot Dirt, Dylan Mark. Who else we got here? A lot of different. Fran is in here. Scott is in here. Robert's in here. Thanks a lot, everybody. IDL, all of you. All right, Charles. Good to hear from you. Good to see you. And good to hear from Tim, who's on a cell, starts us off this hour. Hi, Tim.
Hello. Is this Phil?
Yep. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, happy holidays. Calling from home of the Bears down in Frewsburg, Shane Conlon country. A couple points, I guess. One is the two-point conversion stuff. Do you know what the Bills, I think their conversion rate for this year is like 1-for-6 or 1-for-7. So my idea is that whatever they're doing isn't working. That they need to really look at that and see what they can do better. I mean, someone like Josh Allen, a talent like him, he should be at least, you would think, 50%, right? And I'm for, you know, looking at
what did you think they did wrong on the two-point conversion yesterday? Because it was a great play. He just missed the throw.
Well, that's one play. I don't think they did anything wrong. I guess my suggestion is to look at that. If you're 1-for-6 or 1-for-7, yep, which I think is what they are. You know, a lot of these teams run screen and pick plays that are borderline penalties, but, you know, look at that, and it needs to be better than 1-for-6 or 1-for-7. I mean,
I can promise you they are looking at it, Tim. In fact, I remember not too long ago, I don't remember which game it was, Tim, but this was brought up to Sean McDermott at some point in the last few weeks because there was a two-point conversion play, and the last time the Bills had actually converted a two-point conversion was a while ago. Even last year, they had failed on some, and he said, yeah, of course, they of course look at that. Of course they... You know, it is something. It's not just like, oh, let's just go run a play. I mean, they have plays through the week that they think will work in that situation. I don't disagree with you. I think yesterday was a great play design. It just didn't execute.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, sometimes you just don't hit. You know, going to his left as opposed to going to his right. Like I said, Josh is going to hit that 9 out of 10 times. I guess my other point is that all of these teams and games are coming down. These teams are so close that, you know, one point, one play, and the decision-making is what it comes down to. The Houston game, you know, you lose by 3. This game, you lose by a point. It's razor thin. So I guess my point is that it just comes down to making the right decisions at those points, you know.
Or just making the right execution.
Yeah, true. Execution.
I have no problem with it. I think it feels like you're blaming this on the decision to go for 2, and I have no problem with it. I mean, you have a banged-up quarterback.
I have no problem going for 2. In fact, I think that's a great – no, I don't have a problem with that.
It's I got
just you. The body of evidence, you're 1-for-7, and you need to figure something out. I mean,
no doubt. I'll tell you what, Tim, I will agree with you with this, what I said. When they were lining up for it, I turned to somebody standing next to me and I said, you got to get Josh on the move here. Let him make the decision. He wants to throw it or run it, right? That's what I would have done. That's what I thought. It was a great play design anyway, and they should have hit it. They didn't. I agree that, you know, you got to look at those things they do. And what Sean McDermott said after the game, Tim, was exactly what you just did. He said, in these games, it comes down to little details. So that's what you're talking about. And I agree with you, buddy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and, you know, that's what the playoffs. I mean, you're going to be facing Houston or New England or all these good defensive teams, and that's what it's going to come down to. So, well, thanks for, the time. And I was first-time caller.
No, you got it, Tim. Thanks. I hope you call again. Thanks. Way to work through that. I appreciate you working through that with me. All right, let's get to there we go. Let's go to Ed in Massachusetts. Hi, Ed. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Nice job.
Good morning.
Really well done. Maybe you can just help me think through this season. Like, this is somewhat confounding, but on the other hand, if you ever told me or somebody told you, look, Bills are going to the playoffs and Kansas City won't be there, Cincinnati won't be there, Baltimore might not be there, you'd say, we might be able to punch our ticket. Now, on the other hand, it's on the third hand, in order to get this done, they're going to have to win three on the road. And I went back and looked at, you know, how they've done on the road in the playoffs. I don't think they've won a playoff game on the road in ages. They go all the way back to 95, yeah. I think.
Now, it is a great, great, you know, Mike Schultz was talking about this last night, too, and I agree. It is a, Mike said, I don't want to speak for Mike, but I believe what he said, and it was a really interesting conversation. He's kind of talking it out, and this is what you're bringing up, Ed, which is, what is more valuable, what is the easier, quote-unquote, easier path? To have those teams out of the way, or to have to go on the road for three games? And I believe going on the road for three games is tougher. I think at any time you go on the road in three games in the regular season is tough, let alone playoffs against really good teams.
No, I think you're right. I think that's right. But, and this is where I'd like your opinion. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
You followed this team. You've covered this team for a while. You've seen them play in the playoffs. And they do seem to elevate. You look at those Kansas City losses. I mean, they were playing at a ridiculously high level. So do you see the way this team is composed right now to be able to lift it up a notch? Some days I do, some days I don't.
Listen, I think that they have the experience, the coaching staff, the quarterback, obviously, to beat any team in any environment. I really believe that. All it takes, though, is a couple mistakes by an offense that does not have much margin for error, or even a defense that doesn't have much margin for error, to lose these games to teams that they should win. Are you really that afraid? Is anybody that afraid of going to Denver or going to New England or going to Jacksonville with Josh Allen as your quarterback and knowing the quarterbacks that are on the other side and their inexperience? I don't think so, Ed. So when you say raise your level, I think the Bills not necessarily raise their level. I think that you are already on that level to be able to compete and even beat those teams. So that's where I fall on all of that. But there's such less margin for error this year than there has been in the past that that's what scares me in any of these contests.
Yeah, well said. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks, Ed. Hope I answered your question. I don't think there's a right answer there to say, like, step it up and be like, okay, it's Trevor Lawrence. He's played well, but I think the Bills defensive staff would come up with a good plan against Trevor Lawrence. I think they'd come up with a good plan against Bo Nix. They did last year. He did nothing against them. One play in the first half, right? Yes, it's a good pass rush for Denver. No doubt about it. There are other things. Teams have scored points on them. Green Bay scored. Jacksonville scored. The Bills went to New England and won already this year. Like, there is no insurmountable team for them to go on the road against and beat. The problem is doing it three straight weeks and having all of the things that have befuddled you and failed you not happen for three straight weeks to have to overcome. That's the issue. And that's what they're facing right now. It's a good question, though, about, like, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Kansas City and Baltimore and Cincy all in the playoff field, and you knowing you're probably going to host one of them? Or would you rather have them all out of the playoff field and knowing you've got to go on the road for three straight games against these other teams? I still think going on the road for this team, particularly this year, the way they played, is the tougher challenge because they have not done it that well. They have been a different team on the road. They didn't play well at home yesterday, but generally they were much better at home. It's funny when I think about this season and the caller just said, like, he's thinking back on this season and how it's gone. One way that I've looked at this season, it's kind of crazy actually, is that through the first half of the year, yeah, there were problems with offense. And you complain about Joe Brady. It's what people do. Fans do. Things don't work out. You blame the coordinator. You blame the offense. You blame the quarterback, whatever. But for the most part, it was, oh my God, this defense is terrible. They can't stop the run. They can't fix anything. And it was defense, defense, defense. McDermott, head coach. He's a defensive head coach. And, like, that has kind of flipped. The script has flipped on that. It has been, oh my God, this defense, look what they're doing with these guys. They're figuring it out. They've found the formula to do what they need to do. But now it's the offense that can't do anything that, you know, to overcome. And that's where this season's been weird for me. Let's go to Josh in Charlotte. Hi, Josh. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, just going back to that two-point conversion, I heard on ESPN this morning on their show, Get Up, they were talking about, oh, they shouldn't have went, blah, blah, blah. I mean, when you're in that spot, you need to go for it. With what's on the line, you know, with Josh with his foot injury, I do think if we went into overtime, having him out there on a couple more drives, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. So I definitely agree for going with
I did not watch that show today. Did everybody on the panel say the Bills should have kicked it?
I think Mike was talking about going, they shouldn't have gone for it, and I think someone else was backing him up on
that. Okay, I'm just curious. I think it's a good debate. Listen, I'll tell you, Josh, like, I respect anybody who says you have the momentum, go to overtime. I just think that there's a lot more that goes into it than that, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. And then, you know, with the how the conditions were, well, Sal, you were out there. Was it still raining pretty bad at the end of the fourth, or did it lighten up a little bit?
It was raining. I wouldn't say pretty bad. It was lightly raining still at the end of the fourth, I believe. Maybe not. I would say this, Josh. The weather, to me, did not factor into any part of this game other than maybe one fumble by Josh Allen and a couple of drop passes, I guess.
Exactly. And honestly, I mean, did you even think that was the fumble? It was so close to call.
No, and I'm talking about the fumble before that, the one where he fumbled the center exchange. That was, to me, because of the wet ball. You know, the other one was Jimmy because they ruled it a tuck rule fumble, so that's why.
Yeah, it was one of those. You know. It was kind of hard. They called it a fumble on the field, so it was like,
yeah.
You know, I was okay with that one. But, you know, going back to the two-point conversion, I know Josh Allen had Shakir open, but you know what's crazy, Sal? I think you had mentioned this earlier in the show. Josh Allen makes that throw 95 out of 100 times. And he's done so much for us, you know, this year, putting everything on his back and stuff. And it's hard. But you know what? I think going forward, I think we'll be able to come up with a good game plan against some of these teams. I know it's going to be really hard to go on the road and, you know, beat a lot of these teams. But with Josh Allen, you know, anything's possible with him. So
yeah, and, the head coach, the head coach agreed with you yesterday. He said, Josh makes that throw, and I would give him the ball again, and he'll make that throw the next time. That's what he said. So.
Oh, yeah. No, most definitely. But I just wanted to comment on that. You know, it's weird. With some of these losses, I've definitely been defeated. I mean, like a lot of Bills fans. But this one, I'm like, you know what? Okay, let's rest the guys going into week 18. Well, not all of them, you know, but a good bit of them. Let's get Allen, you know, healthy again. Just get him on the right mindset. And you can tell. I mean, you saw how frustrated he was after he missed that call. I've not seen him that mad in a while. He looked pissed.
Yeah, for sure, Josh. For sure. I got to run, buddy. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's get to Mike, who's up next. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. Thank you.
Hey, I'm just calling to say, you know, this is just my personal opinion on the matter. Everybody else is entitled to their own opinions and whatever else like that. Last night, I watched a quarterback play his heart out for this team and for this city. I think we can all agree upon that. And I think we can all agree upon the fact that Josh needs help on the offensive side of the ball. It's not Josh's fault. It's not the coach's fault. It's not the player's fault. If you want my honest opinion on the matter, what it boils down to is the person who called into your radio show, like I think it was a day or 2 days after the draft, and decided to basically come at all the disc jockeys and everything else like that you had on in the morning and everything, all because some people wanted to criticize him on the fact of, yet again, we do not have a number one wide receiver for Josh. He's out there basically trying to make the best of the situation and whatever, and we can only expect so much out of one man. And there's only one person in the position right now to bring in number one receivers to the organization, and that's Brandon Bean. And yet again, we are seeing again with the Patriots, we're seeing it again with pretty much everybody else that's in the playoff race right now in the AFC, why you need a number one and a number two threat receiver in order to help your quarterback in this league, or otherwise you're just not going to have any success.
All right, three things, Mike. Okay, number one, you never have to qualify it with, you know, having that is your opinion, because you're calling it as your opinion, buddy. So I got you, right? Your opinion. You have to qualify that. I know that. That's why, and I appreciate you calling. Number two, just so you know, it wasn't like Brandon Bean called into the radio station because people were criticizing him, like unprompted. It was a scheduled post-draft radio interview. You know what I mean? Like it was something that they had set up that he was going to be on. Number three, I agree completely. They have to address wide receiver, and Brandon Bean needs to do that this offseason. Assuming he's still the GM of the Bills, I guess you can never know, you know, but I agree with you that they did not handle wide receiver well this year, and they need to do a better job. So I hope I touched on everything for you, buddy.
Absolutely. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you. Weekend. How about week? See? I did it to him. I said Friday like three times, so now he said have a good weekend. It's Monday. Hi, Brian in Florida. Go up. You're up next here on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Congrats on the new dog there with the new family member. That's awesome.
Yeah, and, thanks, Bernie. He's great. We love him.
Hey, look cute there on social media. And yeah, I can't blame the caller here. It feels like it's a whole big weekend here the last 2 weeks of the year. But
yeah, no kidding.
I get it. I called in last week, you know, and I've been critical with McDermott and Dean this year with a lot of the moves. But the one thing I think that myself and probably the rest of the, you know, fan base can't be critical of is the resilience with this team this year. I get that they've come up short in a few games, but you know, for them to be down as much as they've been down and for them to claw back in, you know, the second half or even one quarter like they did yesterday, that speaks volumes to, I think, the tight-knit group that they have up in that locker room at One Bills Drive. But more so, I want to get your take on, listen, this is a team that has not won in the playoffs on the road since 1992. Okay. They do not have a playoff win in the last 30 something years on the road. I get, 17-year playoff drought, but listen, the last 7-8 years, you've been in the playoffs with McDermott. You got 4 losses against the Chiefs. Great. They're not there. You got the 1 wild card loss against the Texans. You're telling me though, that you like them going on the road against a team like the Texans or like the Jaguars who have a defense that can absolutely shut you down immediately.
I don't think anybody has said they like him going on the road in that situation.
I mean, that's the thing, you know. I mean, and now here we are. You know, they're going to have to win 3 straight on the road.
Sure. But, yeah, no, I've said it's that's tough. That's a tough deal to ask anybody to go on the road for 3 straight games. I like their chances much more against Jacksonville than I would against Houston because of that defense. But no, I don't think anybody likes the prospect of going to Houston on the road, and it's going to be tough. Brian, I mean, like, yeah, I don't think anybody's – I will say, though, that I think they can beat any of these teams on the road or at home. I think the challenge is doing it 3 straight times like that. You know what I mean?
It seems – almost impossible, but then I don't know. This year, and you know, a lot of the, you know, experts, you know, said, you know, there was not, you don't really know what this team is, you know, especially going into the last week of the season. But then, you know, last week, I think you said it perfectly. You know, they want to win games. They're going to have to find the ways on the ground to pound the rock with, you know, not just James Cook. I think with all 3 backs. Hopefully they can get Allen some rest here in the next 2 weeks. He's a key cog. But, man, I think the absence of Kincaid, when they have Kincaid in that offense this year, that 3 tight end set, they can go become like that mid-2000, you know, kind of New England Patriots. And I get they don't have some of the receivers like they did. But if you could control the clock and you can control that line of scrimmage, I'm going to go on the notion that, again, I talked about, again, that resiliency. You know, they make those second half adjustments. Could you imagine if they're playing all 4 quarters like they do, you know, in the second half this year? Holy smokes!
All right, let me touch on that, Brian. I gotta get going, okay? But let me touch on that, Brian. He was all over the place in a lot of things. Good call, Brian. But I didn't know which way you were going there. You were talking about how much you love the resiliency, but then you were, oh my God, they can't go on the road and win in the playoffs, and then they got to control the line of scrimmage. But then you'd be like the 2000s New England Patriots. So a lot there. I know you're just trying to talk it through. So let me just say this on the resiliency point. 100% right, very resilient. It's a group that knows they can come back at any point. We've seen it this year. You can't get down like that in the playoffs to these teams. These teams are too good to be able to come back. You just can't do it. And you got to start faster. You got to start better. You got to have a lead. The Bills in the locker room even said that. Like, we can't put ourselves in that position. And they have too much this year. And he also said Jaguars. I saw that. You guys in the chat, you noticed it. Brian said, and Brian was in Florida, and he said Jaguars. Jaguars, folks, it's the Jaguars. It's also not a Friday. It's a Monday. I've said Friday 3 times today. It's a Buffalo football Monday. We have sit up, stand down, hey, buddy, on the way. More of your phone calls as well here on a Buffalo football Monday on a windy Western New York day today on WGR. Make sure you're tuned in to News Radio 930 WBEN for any weather updates today. A lot going on with the weather today, so make sure you tune in on the radio dial, the 930 AM, our sister station, News Radio 930. In the meantime, we have more coming your way here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Do we think that Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills have enough to go on a Super Bowl run?
Can we stop asking this question?
No.
The answer is yes.
No.
I love Josh. I've championed Josh. We have to stop building in excuses for him. He's an...
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Unbelievable player and an MVP winner, and probably as they have a top five offensive line. They have the best run game in football. They have one of the, if not the best, tight end trios in football. They got one of the most dynamic backs in football. They have a top five defense. As long as he's got Dalton Kincaid. If he has Dalton Kincaid, there's enough to go win and get into the Super Bowl. And absolutely.
Interesting thoughts from Dan Orlovsky there. And, you know, Dan, he is on One Bills Live sometimes, and he's, you know, he follows the Bills. He understands the Bills, I think, more than most in the media, in the national media. You know, so when he talks, I pay attention to what he thinks about the Bills more than I do other people in the national media because of that. And I agree with him. Like I just said a little while ago, folks, the Bills can beat any team in this field. They can absolutely beat any team in this field. They have the quarterback to do it. And the other teams have quarterbacks that are inexperienced, and they have every team has flaws. There's no perfect team. The issue, the problem, the challenge for the Bills in this playoff year is twofold. Number one, they're going to have to go on the road for three straight games, and that is tough to ask of any team in this league. It's tough. Tough environments, tough defenses, communication, everything. That's just a tough ask. They can win any game in a vacuum, I think. I think going on the road three straight games is tough to do. And the second issue, which I've said many times this morning, is there's just not much margin for error like there has been in the past. They've had teams where they're just supremely talented compared to the other team, and they can afford to have mistakes that don't compound things that they can overcome. They can overcome mistakes more through a game. They can't as much this year. And we saw it yesterday against a good team. You know, yesterday, the game is going on. The Bills make a couple mistakes. There's a fumble. There's the Josh Allen plays that, you know, the sack and all that. And I said during one of the radio breaks to Chris and Eric, I said, this is how you let a bad team beat you, let alone a really good team. I mean, the Bills are still there at the end, and they had Bills at 331 yards of offense, 333 would have won the game. I know it wouldn't actually counted, but two more yards would have won the game. Despite all that, that's why they can beat any team. But they couldn't overcome their mistakes. And that's the way they can lose. Let's go to Raj in L.A., who's been holding patiently. I thank you. Raj, hi.
Hey. Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Two things, actually. A question for you. But before that, I want to just address something a caller had said about Allen putting our team on his back, which, yeah, of course he did, and he does constantly. But the problem I feel like with Allen and the criticism he gets kind of broadly is that the guy presses too much. We all know he's got no receivers and, you know, probably no weapon as weak a receiver group as there is in the league. But with that said, why doesn't he just take the check down? He extends plays unnecessarily. He gets injured in the process. It looks chaotic out there. You know, it kind of harkens back to his second season in the league or his rookie season and his second season in the league where, you know, he tends to look panicked out there, which I think to me is a huge concern going into the playoffs, playing against these strong defenses. You asked earlier, you know, would you rather play the Chiefs and the Bengals opposed to the Broncos and the Texans? I'd much rather play the Chiefs and the Bengals at this stage because the Broncos and the Texans can do what the Eagles did to Allen last night, which is just scramble his brain. And so that's my concern. Aside from that, question for you, how did the offensive line look yesterday? I was watching the game, seeing Allen get sacked 5 times, seeing Cook kind of get contained. It seemed like we were getting bullied. Were you seeing the same thing?
Interior, especially, yes. If you go to my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column, Raj, I write every after every game at WGR550.com. You know, that's okay. I give an arrow down to the two guards, specifically, Osiris Torrance and David Edwards. I thought that they were beaten, you know, pretty badly yesterday a few times. And not as much of a problem with the tackles. They had their issues at times, but this was an interior issue yesterday. And, yeah, I didn't think the offensive line played that great due to that. I like your Josh Allen comments, and I think the answer to what you're saying is Josh is looking for the money ball a lot of times. He's looking for the big shot, the home run ball. And even though he might not throw the ball downfield, sometimes I think he waits for it to happen, and I think that is what gets him in trouble sometimes. It's what we love about him, but we also know what could get him in trouble, right? I think that's just the reality.
And that's the problem because we don't have the receivers to cash in on that money ball. We don't. And so it's
right.
Like,
and I mean, hey, Brandon Cooks had a nice couple of plays yesterday, and you hope that starts to come to a little bit more to fruition. And then, holy heck, what a great catch by Tyrell Shavers on the sidelines. And thanks, Raj. I appreciate the call. But, man, that was a great catch right in front of me. I don't know. I saw a lot of Eagles fans saying it should have been pass interference. I don't know. Didn't look like it. Real time to me, they were hand fighting. But maybe he got grabbed a little bit or maybe he pushed off for a little bit, I guess, something like that. Right. Was that what it was? I don't know. There was, or maybe they did not catch it. There was some controversy with it. I don't care. It was a great catch. I saw it. Ken in Buffalo. Hi, Ken. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Sal? What's up? Thanks for taking my call. Obviously, I can really appreciate the comments by the previous caller and even your observations. But I just want to talk about the dichotomy that is Josh Allen, the dichotomy. On the one hand, we know he can don the Superman cape, and that's when he makes these super plays. And he becomes must-see TV. He's a part of why the Bills are a ratings juggernaut, if you will. Then, of course, there's his tendency to revert to this hero ball, and that's what we saw yesterday. There were too many instances in which, as you just alluded to, he didn't take the shutdown. On that first big mistake, which was that fumble, there was a play action. He rolls out to the right. I'm sure you saw right from the field. Jackson Hawes was wide open right in front of him. And rather than take that easy throw, he's looking for the touchdown instead of the next down. And that was a huge mistake. And it goes to his tendency to be too aggressive. Then, of course, there was the 4th-and-2. When he rolls to the right, Brandon Cooks was wide open near the right pylon. All he had to do was flip it to him, not even throw it. Just flip it to him. He walks in the end zone. So I think that his greatness, we know it's there. And then, of course, when he took the sack and took us out of field goal range, he has to learn from those plays to realize when you get into the playoffs, you're not going to get those sort of chances. You're not going to get opportunities to rebound. And the other thing that came to mind, again, you were spot on. I agree that the interior linemen were a problem. They were getting pushed back. I'm still puzzled as to why we didn't alter the protection scheme. But it appears as though we go against these stronger defensive fronts, i.e. Houston, i.e. Philadelphia, that when Josh loses confidence in front of the guys in front of him, he doesn't feel as secure. That's when he starts doing too much. So he starts pressing, So as we go forward and look to the playoffs, I expect him to bounce back. But he can handle pressure. But it seems when he starts getting hit, he doesn't process things as well. He doesn't see the field as well. So thanks for taking my call. I'll fall back and let you chime in. And, you know, again, thanks for taking my call. We'll talk.
No, you got it, Ken. You got it. Happy New Year. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, good calls right there. Yeah, I think we all saw yesterday that there were decisions that Josh made that could have been different, maybe should have been different, and could have turned out different in the game. It's so funny because this is who he's been his whole career, and I think we're getting to a point now, though, where after 8 years, you're like, you got to know better, and I don't know if you'll ever take that out of him. We've said this. I've said this. How many times did we say early in his career, he's Brett Favre. He's going to make crazy, incredible plays. They're going to help you win games and win division championships and have chances at Super Bowls. And then he's going to make plays where you go, oh my God, why did he do that? Right. And that's still who he is. And I don't know if I ever want to not have that because folks, I just think it's so hard. It's so hard to keep the first part of that, but take the second part out. Because if you take the second part out, you're probably taking the first part out too. Meaning if you take out the, oh my God, why did he do that all the time stuff, you're probably also losing a lot of the, I can't believe he did that. That was amazing. That's what's tough about it. Dave in Sardinia. Hi, Dave. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Great show. You do a great job there, and I enjoy it all the time, listening to what you guys have to say. Hey, I always hear the coach talking about trusting the process, and I sent you some information about all the different processes that are involved in the whole scenario of managing a team from the draft, all of it, right? So I kind of believe that there are three processes that are affecting the Bills the most. One of them is game day management, you know, the ability to improve game day decisions, you know, and making the coaching staff better in that regard. So how do you improve the coaching staff's ability to make the decisions? Can it be fixed? And the same goes with the players.
What did they do? Was there anything? What is there anything yesterday he did that you're specifically pointing to? Because I didn't have any issue with the game day management yesterday. I mean, maybe play calling from the OC, but
no, not at all. But what I'm looking at is the overall picture. Okay.
So here's Dave. Just so you know, like Sean McDermott has talked about this in the past. Like every week he meets with his game management staff every week. They go over things in the league. They go over things in the game. They go over how they might do something different. I can tell you for sure. Remember last year, the Rams, like that did not go well at the end of the game. There was this whole process on the timing and, you know, what they did. And I know for a fact that like they went and kind of configured, okay, we have to start thinking about maybe doing it differently next time. Like that is always happening.
Right, right. And I don't have any problem with that. You know, I'm trying to get at what processes do they need to fix and focus on. And the other part of it is, you know, discipline. Is discipline, and when I say discipline, is being focused on making the decisions that you need to during the game by the players and not having the penalties, you know, and the whole decision-making process. Is that something that can be improved? And is that something that they stress, you know, whether it be...
Yeah, they had four penalties yesterday. It wasn't that many. They're about middle of the pack this year in penalties called. I don't know specifically what you're getting at, Dave, and I apologize. I'm just trying to figure out what you mean specifically.
Yeah. Well, you know, trusting the process, which process...
Right, so the process is basically... Here's what it comes down to, Dave, okay? And maybe you're confused what he means. And you don't have to love it, and I know that people make memes about it, and they say, oh my God, like that's all he talks about. I get it. What it comes down to is saying, if you trust the process, even though you don't get the results you're always after, like if you're doing it right, the results will eventually come. That's what that means. That's what the saying means is, don't be results-based, because the process could be awesome, but you might not get the best result because something happened, you know, that made it go wrong. If the process is wrong, though, and even if you get good results, that's not good because that's not sustainable. That's what they mean.
Okay. Well, thanks, okay. Sal. Have a great day, okay?
You got it. Thanks, Dave. I'm sorry. I don't really understand what you were trying to ask me specifically, so if I screw that up, I apologize, but I think that...
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You're just wondering what it means. So when anybody says, it's not just Sean McDermott, when anybody says, trust the process, we've seen this in many instances in sports, in life, what it means is if you're doing things right all the time, even if you don't get the right result right away, just keep doing it right because eventually it's sustainable to get the right result, right? You can't be results-based because a lot of times you'll be like, well, it worked out, so it was good. For example, yesterday's two-point conversion. I think this is a great actual like point of this. The process of everything that led up to that play, to me, was right. The quarterback didn't hit the throw. So I think it's wrong to go back and say, well, it was a terrible play call. It was not. People do this all the time with play calling, which is, it didn't work, it was a terrible call. No. Or it did work, it was a great call. No. That's what trust the process means. And when you talk about a big picture with an organization, whether it's in radio or a business aspect of life, you own a store, you're running a football team. If you do things right on a daily basis, that's what it means by trusting the process. Okay, I've spent too long on this. I tried to help out. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, on the way next and finally on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR. All right, let's get to our extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. The sidelines were wet yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Great job by all of you out there to weather it. No pun intended, I guess. But, I mean, it was pouring. The stands were still packed. It was a little late-arriving crowd, but, man, Bills Mafia was still in full effect yesterday, despite the weather coming down. And that's what we do here, right? It's what we do. Go to the games, and it doesn't matter what the weather is, but the extra point from the sidelines is basically what it was like on the sidelines yesterday. I got home late last night, soaking wet clothes still, that I had to still go through and dry some today. That was our extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Let's sit up on James Cook having a chance at the rushing title next week. He is 47 yards ahead of Jonathan Taylor, and because the Jonathan Taylor plays first at 1 o'clock, the Bills will know exactly how much James Cook needs for the rushing title, which is great. Let's sit up on that. Or maybe he doesn't need anything. You just sit him out and he's got it. Let's go. Bam. That would be great, too. Folks, just got to stand down in this weather. This weather is terrible today. Terrible pretty much the next day or so. And I need to plug again one more time. WBEN, News Radio 930. Make sure you check them out for all of your weather updates. News Radio 930, WBEN, for the weather updates. Stand down on this weather, the wind, and the snow. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy. Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Lou, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
You know, I normally do this at the end of the season when it's over. It is not over yet. Hopefully, it's many more weeks in. But next week's going to be a lot about the stadium and all that. So I'm going to make my buddies, the incredible, awesome radio crew that I work with, Chris Brown on the call, Eric Wood on the call, Mike Mullane, our spotter, who works up in the booth. Mark Murphy works up in the booth. And, of course, Todd Brody and Greg Harvey. They do an amazing job behind the scenes. Randy, who's down on the field as a parabolic, holding the parabolic. I mean, we got a lot of different guys. I'm missing people, and I'm sorry. But, man, just a great, great radio crew. Check out the calls from the booth that's on YouTube that Chris tweets out, that the Bills tweet out every week. It's a really cool watch and listen. But they're all my buddies. They do a great job, and I'm very, very proud to be on the broadcast with them. And I want to wish them all a happy new year. And let's keep it rolling for a few more weeks, boys. That would be great, all right? Let's go do that. In the meantime, Sabres Live. No, sorry, One Bills Live up next year on the Buffalo Football Monday. Thanks for staying with me.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.